Hello, welcome to or welcome back to Try Not to Care. If you're new here, my name is Ashley, and today we're doing an advice session. I used to do advice sessions like every month, honestly. Like I used to do it the last Monday of every month. And I'm gonna be honest, I just forgot that this was a thing that I do. So I stopped doing it. I think the last advice session I did was in October, and it is April now. But this week I was scrambling to think of an episode because, believe it or not, when you talk into a mic for over an hour every single week, you upload every single week since 2022, you run out of things to talk about. I'm a yapper. I love to talk. I could talk for hours, but there's some times where I'm like, did I talk about this already? Like, are they over me talking about this? Are they over hearing about friendships? So I was like, you know what, this week, let's just ask the people what they want to hear. What advice do the people need? So today we're going to do a nice little advice session. And also, if you ever have any questions that you want answered, or you have an idea for an episode and you're like, this bitch keeps talking about the same things, we want something different. There's a Google form in the show notes where you can ask me questions there. You can slide in my DMs. You can wait until I ask for a Q&A on Instagram. I'm open. I'm all ears. So Google form, Instagram, everything's in the show notes. But today's advice session is going to be for the girls who are so in their head, who care so much about what everyone thinks about them. If you are a thought daughter, this advice session is for you. So let's get into it. The first question is, how can I deal with people not liking me when I know I'm a good person? It is so natural to care what people think about you. It's so normal to want people to like you and to become defensive when you find out that people don't like you, or you hear that someone's talking badly about you. You want to defend yourself. You want to tell your side of the story. But the thing is, it doesn't matter how good of a person you are. It doesn't matter how in the right you are. If someone doesn't like you, they're probably going to continue to not like you despite if you're in the right or if you're in the wrong, because people don't always dislike you for a valid reason. They don't always dislike you because you did something wrong. Of course, there's times where they have a valid reason, like maybe you fucked someone over, or you did something really shitty, and it's valid for them to be like, you know what, I'm gonna stay far away from you. I don't like you. But a lot of the time, people dislike you not because of you. It's not personal to you. It's because of their own experiences. It's because of their biases. It could be because you remind them of someone that they dislike. So immediately they look at you and they're like, I don't like that person. People are really quick to form opinions about you and make judgments. That's why it's really important to make a good first impression if you do care about that person's opinion. But although it is so easy for someone to make a judgment about you, it is so hard to change their mind about you. Regardless if they're right, if they're wrong, a person can just not like you and know nothing about you. And it doesn't matter how much you overexplain yourself and try to change their mind. If they're set on not liking you, they're not gonna like you. I talked about this briefly on TikTok, but when I find out someone doesn't like me or they're talking badly about me, my first instinct is to overextend myself and overexplain myself and try to tell my side of the story to try to change their mind about me and try to get them to like me. But the thing is, it's not our job to change someone's mind about us. It's not our job to make people like us or make people see our worth. There's been times where someone who doesn't like me has gone around to our mutual friends or people that we know and tried to paint me in a bad light and tried to get those people to not like me. And every part of me wanted to defend myself and tell my side of the story, because in my mind, I'm like, well, that's not how it happened. And I'm not this person they're painting me out to be. And I know that I'm a good person. I don't want those people to think that I'm a bad person. But the thing is, it doesn't matter how much you overexplain yourself and you try to change their mind. If people want to believe that you're a bad person, let them think you're a bad person. It is not your job to change their mind about you. It is not your job to get those people to like you. And I said this in my TikTok video, but it's like, you shouldn't reward people with more of you. If someone has made it known that they don't like you, that they don't want to be around you, that they don't want to talk to you, don't give them more of you. Don't give them more access to you. They've made it known that they don't care about you. They don't care to have you a part of their life. So don't continue to try to insert yourself into theirs. They don't deserve that. And also, it's like, why would you want someone like that in your life? Why would you want to be friends with someone who has so quickly made a judgment about you and thinks you're a bad person based off what they've heard? If someone had come to me about my friend or like a mutual of mine and tried to paint them in a bad light, I wouldn't just immediately be like, okay, yeah, I don't like them anymore. I am capable of making my own judgment. I'm not gonna let other people's opinions and ideas of someone else sway how I see that person. Most of the time, when someone's talking badly about you or thinks that you're a bad person, you don't even care about them. They're normally not like a friend of yours or someone that you actually value. The reason that you care that they're talking badly about you is because they're talking badly about you. Your ego's bruised. You don't want people to think you're a bad person. But at the end of the day, no one knows you like you know you. Like even your closest friends and family don't know you the way that you do. So if you like you through all your good and bad, if you think you're a good person through all your good and bad, that's all that matters. That's the only opinion that matters. So if you're someone who is really bothered by how people think about you or how they're speaking about you, try to drown them out and focus on what actually matters. Those people don't matter. Their opinions don't matter. They are not important people in your life. Focus on things that bring you joy, that make you feel fulfilled. Focus on the people who are good to you, who would never change their mind about you just because everyone else is talking badly about you. The more that you spend time around those people and the things that make you happy, the more you're going to be reminded of who you are as a person. Why you like you, why you're a good person. Focus on that. Focus on those people. Don't focus on the bullshit. Don't try to feed into their narrative or stoop down to their level and try to convince these people who have clearly made their mind up about you that you're a good person. Good people are not constantly trying to convince other people that they're good or that they're nice or that they're right. They don't care about that. Their actions show who they are. And some people do not get the privilege of seeing how kind you are or how considerate you are. They don't get to see you're good because they're so wrapped up in the idea that you're bad. But that's not your problem. It's going to be so much easier to drown out these voices and to stop caring what people think once you realize that you don't need validation from others and other people don't determine whether you're good or bad. All that matters is that you like you and you know who you are and you know you're a good person. Focus on that, worry about yourself, take care of yourself, and the people that see you for who you are your people, and the people that don't aren't your people. This episode is sponsored by ZocDoc. One of the worst things as an adult is having to find your own doctor. Like growing up, my mom handled all the appointments and she knew what she was doing. I, on the other hand, do not. Whenever I try to pick out a doctor or a dentist, they just don't meet my expectations. They dismiss my needs. They want to yap while they're cleaning my teeth. And it just makes booking an appointment so much harder because I don't want to go. But thankfully, I don't have the issue anymore because now I can find the right doctor with ZocDoc. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high quality in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. You don't have to settle for doctors that don't meet your needs or you don't feel comfortable with, because with ZocDoc, you can filter to find doctors that fit what you need and go by ratings from verified patients. You can also filter for doctors who take your insurance and are located nearby. One thing that turns me off from booking appointments is having to wait weeks or months to be seen. But with ZocDoc, appointments happen fast, typically within 24 to 72 hours, and sometimes you can even be seen the day of. Next time I'm looking for a doctor, I'm definitely going to use ZocDoc, and you should too. Stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/tryingnot to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/tryingnot. ZocDoc.com/tryingnot. How do you not let something bother you? I think the first thing that you need to do is acknowledge how you feel. Acknowledge that this thing is pissing you off or upsetting you or is just really annoying. Pretending that this thing doesn't bother you isn't going to make it go away. You're just suppressing it and it's going to build and build and build inside of you and eventually become this big thing that it didn't need to be. For me, when I try to pretend that something doesn't bother me and I'm acting so chill, so cool, like not a biggie whatsoever, it just lingers longer. And I think about it way longer than I would have if I just addressed it and worked through it and moved the fuck on. So allow yourself to be annoyed or be upset or be mad and don't judge yourself for it. I know it feels icky when you admit that something's bothering you way more than it should because you feel like it has so much power over you or you feel stupid and you're like, why am I letting this thing bother me? But it's like if your friend had come to you and was like, oh, this is so annoying or I'm so upset over this, You're not going to judge them and be like, you're a stupid bitch for even caring about this. Like, what's your problem? You're going to validate them. You're going to help them work through it. So do the same for yourself. Ask yourself, like, why is this bothering me? What's going on? Why am I triggered? Am I taking this too personally? Am I making this about me when it's literally not about me whatsoever? When you ask yourself those questions, not only are you going to figure out why you feel the way that you feel, but you're also going to realize, like, it's not that serious. When emotions are involved, things seem way more intense than they are. They seem way more important than they are. It feels like your world is ending. But when you zoom out and you ask yourself, is this going to matter tomorrow? Am I going to be thinking about this next week? Is this going to matter next year? And if the answer to those are no, then why am I spending so much of my time right now thinking about it and worrying about it and just like being so bothered by it? Me sitting here and being like, well, just stop being bothered by it isn't going to help you, because you're not just going to be able to turn your brain off and pretend something's not bothering you. What I think is the best thing for you to do is redirect your thinking to something more productive. When I'm fuming, when I am upset over something, the more I ruminate over it, the more I think about it, the more pissed off I get. I'm like, wow, that was fucked up, or wow, why would that person say that or do that? And I'm just giving so much energy to it, and I'm building it up into this thing that it doesn't have to be. And it takes a lot of energy to focus on one thing, to think about one thing over and over again, thinking about something all day. Like, think about it this way. I imagine that a lot of you have difficulty focusing watching a movie or watching a TV show. I imagine that you're scrolling on your phone while doing it. I imagine you're multitasking because it's hard to focus on one thing at a time. Like, I can't sit and watch my show right now. I'm watching Yellow Jackets. I can't sit there and watch it uninterrupted. I'm also scrolling on my phone. I'm also like on Pinterest. I can't do that, but I can sit there for hours and focus on this one thing that bothered me. Are you serious? It takes a lot to be that fixated on something. It takes a lot of energy to worry about something that much. But we're not able to just throw that energy away and act like we're so unbothered and we're so chill. When you're ramped up, you can't just like lay down and be like, oh, I'm chill now. You still have all of that built up energy. So it's good to use that towards something productive. For example, working out, cleaning your house, doing chores, learning a new dance. All of those things take a lot of energy. Most days I'm like, oh, I don't really want to go to the gym. Like, that's going to take a lot of effort that I don't want to do that right now. But if I'm using so much energy to like think about and fixate on one thing, why don't I just use that? Go lift some weights. Go and run on the treadmill. I never run on the treadmill. I have shit into splints. But why not do that? How you feel is not just going to go away by thinking positive thoughts. You're going to still feel ramped up. So it's good to use that towards something that's actually going to impact you positively. Although thinking positively isn't going to change the situation, it's not going to magically make you feel all better. Like, oh, that thing that was bothering me? No more. Not even thinking about it anymore. But I do think reframing the situation into something more positive can be helpful. I'm much less likely to crash out over something if I can find the silver lining in it and find some way to be grateful for this thing happening. For example, Josh and I almost bought a house. And if you know anything about the housing market right now, it is so unbelievably hard to buy a house. Houses are so expensive. And even when you put in an offer, there's always someone lurking ready to outbid you by like $50,000. Josh and I put in an offer for this house. And over the weekend, I think the agent messed up and didn't have the seller sign the contract. So someone else was able to swoop in and offer more. And obviously the seller is going to go with someone who's offering more money. So we didn't get the house. And I was really bummed out about it because I was like, we have to start over again. Like, we have to start over looking for houses again. And it got to this point where I was like, maybe we just won't buy a house. Like, maybe that's just not happening. But then I started thinking about it and I was like, okay, yes, it sucks, but when we do find a house that checks off all of our boxes, we're going to be so grateful that everything before didn't work out. When we find our house, I'm going to be so grateful that this house fell through. Or another example, when I used to drive into work, when I worked at the elementary school, I'd have a commute. There were times where I'd get stuck in traffic and I would be fuming. I would have so much anxiety. I'd be swearing at everything and everyone around me because I'm someone who thinks on time is late. I have to be there 15 minutes early. And I would get so worked up. And there was one time where I was driving and it hit me that I have no control over this. I'm stuck in traffic regardless of how worked up I get. I can't do anything about this. And then I had this thought, well, what if I'm meant to be in traffic right now? What if I wasn't in traffic and then I got in a car accident? What if this traffic is holding me up from getting in the accident and it's actually a blessing? And maybe it wasn't a blessing. Maybe I was just stuck in traffic and it meant nothing. But situations like that, like traffic or what someone said to you or what someone did to you, are out of your control. Of course, there's things that you can do, like planning ahead or removing yourself from a situation. But a lot of the time, things are out of your control. All you have control over is how you react. So instead of letting this thing or this person drive you insane and being so bothered by it and giving so much energy to it, find the positive in it. Yeah, that person might have fucked you over, but be so grateful that they did because now you don't have to waste any more time on them. A lot of the time, things don't work out so better things can. And I think just having that mindset can help you a lot. It might not make that thing go away. You might still be upset over something, but it's not going to feel so intense like your world's ending. How do you embrace the confident girl you know is inside somewhere? I know that she exists, but there's another part of me which gets terrified to bring her out, especially since I'm in a huge self-discovery era. How do you become just confident and comfortable in yourself? I think when you go through a self-discovery era or you're currently in one, you're dissecting yourself. You're dissecting thoughts that you once had, beliefs that you once had, things that you no longer align with, and you're reinventing yourself. I don't know if the person that asked this question has ever felt confident, but speaking from my own experience, there's times in your life where you're going to be more confident than other points in your life. Like you might be thinking back to yourself a couple years ago and you're like, I used to be so confident. I don't know what happened. I don't know why I'm not confident anymore. But it's like that was a different version of you. You don't really know who you are yet. You're still discovering who you are. So it's hard to be confident in who you are now because you've outgrown who you used to be. You've transformed or you are transforming into someone completely new with new ideas, new beliefs, new expectations, maybe a new look, new friends. You're still settling into this new version of you. So you're not going to be able to pull out the tricks that you used to that used to make you feel confident. For example, I used to be so confident when I was younger, or I don't even know if it was real confidence or if it was just my ability to fake confidence. I don't know. But I imagine that I was more confident than I am now. I'm about to be 28 in a couple days. I'm in my later 20s. I've been with my fiance for 7 years. So sometimes I feel like I'm not sexy. And I don't mean that in a pity way. Like all of you comment on Spotify that I'm so hot. Totally can if you want. But like, I just am not as confident in my appearance, or I have a hard time tapping into that like sexual hot side that I used to be so familiar with. I was so good at. I was so confident with how I looked. I would stroll into high school with my Victoria's Secret yoga pants, arching my back, breaking my back to make my ass look good. I'd wear a V-neck top with a huge bombshell bra on. And that's what made me feel good. I felt so hot. I felt so sexy. And I knew that other people thought I looked hot and sexy. But who I am now wouldn't be able to do that and feel the way that I used to. I know that I would still look hot, but I'm just not the person that I used to be. So the things that I used to do that would make me feel confident and would make me feel hot are not going to translate the same now. I just wouldn't align with those things. Like now what makes me feel confident is when I put out a good podcast episode and I'm like, wow, I'm really good at that. Or when I am having a conversation and I'm really able to help someone work through something, I'm like, wow, I'm really good at helping other people. Or when it comes to my appearance, I feel hot and I feel confident when I'm wearing something that makes me look put together. Like the other night we went out and I wore like a jacket and oversized jeans, but it was a cool outfit. And I had my hair curly, but up in a clip and two strands hanging down and my makeup was done. And I just felt not only my age, but I just felt like I looked chic and I looked cool and I looked hot. And that made me feel confident And that years ago would have never done that for me. This episode is sponsored by Graza. I've been trying to save money and not eat out as much as I normally do because it definitely adds up. So I've been cooking a lot more at home, and one product that's made it so much easier to cook and make sure my food is delicious is Graza, my new favorite olive oil. It's fresh, it's never blended, and you can taste it. I grew up in an Italian family, so I use olive oil for everything when I'm cooking, when I'm eating bread, on pasta, and I've kind of become an olive oil snob. Genuinely, this is the best olive oil I've ever had. There's actually three types for any task. The frizzle, which is used for like frying, crisping, and grilling because it has a high 490 degree smoke point. Sizzle, which is for everyday cooking like roasting, marinating, or sauteing. And then there's drizzle when you want to make a salad or dip your bread in. The thing that got me hooked and interested in Graza is I was seeing it all over social media, and the thing that's visually different about Graza compared to other olive oils is it's in a squeeze and spray bottle, which in itself is so aesthetically pleasing, but you won't make a mess. It's so easy to use, especially for people like me who are quite messy in the kitchen. And right now, you can get 10% off your first order on Graza's site, but I personally suggest grabbing the trio. That's all three squeezy bottles, sizzle, fizzle, and drizzle, so you're set for every style of cooking. So head to graza.co and use TNDC to get 10% off trio, which includes sizzle, frizzle, and drizzle, and get to cooking your next chef quality meal. You can't always rely on who you used to be to make you feel good about yourself now. You can't always rely on the things that used to make you feel confident to make you feel confident now. You need to figure out who you are now. Who is this current version of me? What do I like? What are my strengths? Find those things and give those a platform. And it can be hard to give that a platform and to express yourself openly and advocate for yourself and show people that you like who you are, because a lot of people associate confidence with arrogance and cockiness because they're not used to seeing a confident person. They're not used to someone liking themselves because so many people hate themselves. Confidence isn't cocky or arrogant. Confidence is just being so secure in yourself, knowing who you are and not being fazed by what other people think about you. It's believing so strongly in yourself regardless of who doesn't believe in you or what people think about you. And there is nothing about that that's cocky. Believing in yourself is not cocky. We're afraid of looking self-absorbed and like we like ourselves too much as if that's a crime. And then we're also afraid of drawing too much attention to ourselves. That's why when so many people like walk into a party, they're looking at their phone or they're looking down. They don't want to make direct eye contact with other people because that's the norm. When someone sees a girl walking in with her shoulders back, direct eye contact, not on her phone, just like proudly walking in by herself, people are like, oh, who is that? She thinks she's all that. And it's like, well, yeah, because she is. Sorry to break it to you. She is. It's like, you know what you have to offer. You know that you're beautiful. You know that you're smart. You know that you're kind. You know that you're funny. You know that you're driven. You're all these incredible things. You hold so much knowledge and you add so much to a conversation. But when it comes to applying those skills and connecting with people, you don't, because you're afraid to be seen. You're afraid of people seeing how great you are because there's so much imposter syndrome intertwined with it. You've worked so hard to become this person that you like and that you're confident in. But so much of your life, people told you that you aren't these things, that you're not this great person. So when you go to display this confidence and you display your skills and you show who you are as a person, there's a voice in the back of your head telling you it's not real. You're not as great as you think you are. You're not good at these things. You're not successful. And you're afraid that people are going to see through it too and think that you're a fraud the way that you do and think like you're not as great as you try to make yourself out to be. With all that being said, I think if you're trying to be confident, if you've never been confident and you have no idea where to start, I think to start, you need to figure out who you are and what you like. What do you like about yourself? What do you admire about yourself? What are your strengths? And it can be difficult to define that, and it can be difficult to be kind to yourself and uplift yourself because you're so used to self-deprecating jokes and putting yourself down for others that it just feels off to be nice to yourself and to admire yourself. But take the time to really think about it. What are things that you do in your everyday life that make you feel really happy? Maybe it's dancing, maybe it's cooking, maybe it's drawing. And then also, what are things that come easy to you? It could be any of those things, but it could also be doing your makeup. It can be the way that you're really good at giving advice or listening to people. It can be being a team leader at work. We're so capable of looking at other people and like pinpointing what we like about them, what we admire about them, especially celebrities, people that we don't even know. Like, I love Selena Gomez. I think that she's so strong with everything that she's been through. I love that she is a businesswoman. I love her mission with Rare Beauty. I just genuinely think that she's a beautiful person inside and out. And it's so easy for me to see her and believe all those things about her. So if it's difficult for you to speak kindly to yourself and find things about yourself that you like, look at yourself as like an outside perspective. If you were someone else, if you were not yourself, but you were looking at you, what are things about you that you would love? If I were looking at myself from another person's point of view, I would love my music taste. I'd be like, damn, that girl's got some good music taste. I would admire my podcast and I would love my mission with my podcast, trying to help other people. I would admire my strength. Like, just think of yourself as someone else looking at you, and that might make it easier for you to be like, oh, I do have some really great things about me. I really like that about myself. And then I think to tie it all together, to be able to be confident behind closed doors and then in the open, is to know at your core that regardless of what other people think about you, your opinion is the only one that matters. You are the only person who knows you. You're good and you're bad. And like I was saying before, if you like you, then it doesn't matter what people think. Other people don't get to tell you who you are. They don't get to say you're not pretty, you're not smart, you're not funny, you're not all of these things that you claim you are, because it's like, well, why do you get to tell me that when you don't know me? I know me. I know what I spend my time doing. I know what I'm really good at. You have no idea who I am. You only see a speck of who I am. Those people can think what they want. They can say what they want, but they don't get to dictate who you are and what you spend your time doing and how you view yourself. They don't get to define your worth. So since they don't get a say in it, why hide it? Why hide who you are when what they say and what they think doesn't matter? I also think viewing yourself as someone that you love is always the way to go. Treat yourself the way that you would treat someone that you love. If your friend had a dance recital, you wouldn't not clap or cheer for them because the person next to you didn't think their dance was good and was like talking smack about them. You would be the loudest person in the room cheering for them. Be the same for yourself. Show up for yourself. Ride for yourself. And don't be ashamed of how great you are because other people don't see it. Just because other people don't like you doesn't mean that you have to feel the same way. How to stop comparing yourself to others. I might sound like a bitch with what I'm about to say, but if you're comparing yourself to others, there's a good chance that you're unsatisfied with your life. Most happy people, people who are super secure in themselves and what they have, aren't focused on what other people have. They're just grateful for what they have. And I'm saying this as someone who still compares herself to other people. So like, I'm not sitting here being like, I'm so good with my life. I'm so secure in myself. I still have insecurities. I have things that I want to work on, but I often catch myself looking at other people's lives and what they're doing and what they have when I am unsatisfied with mine. When I'm booked and busy, when things are going really well for me, when I'm really happy, I'm not focused on other people. I'm just like very grounded in my own life. And although comparing yourself to other people isn't necessarily the healthiest thing, you can turn it into a positive thing. When you catch yourself comparing yourself to others, that is a sign that you need to pay more attention to yourself. When you catch yourself looking at other people and feeling bad about yourself, it is time to devote more time to you. When I catch myself comparing my life to other people, what usually makes me feel bad is this thought of like, oh, they have this thing and I don't, or they're so ahead of me in life and in their career and I am behind and I'm off track and things aren't working out for me. But what has really calmed me down and lessened my anxiety is realizing that I'm not in competition with other people. I'm not on the same timeline as other people. The only competition that you should have is with yourself. You should be competing with past versions of you. You should be wanting to do better than past versions of you. So it's like, yeah, that person that you saw on social media might have gotten a promotion and it stung to see because you're like, I'm so far behind and I'm not even close to where they are. But think about where you were a year ago, 5 years ago. Are you doing better than that version of you? That is what you should be focused on. You should be focused on your growth, not their growth, because you have no idea what it took for them to get to where they are. And it took you a long ass time to get to where you are. You've made so much progress. Focus on that. Celebrate that. When you look at other people's lives and you see how they're succeeding, it can feel very overwhelming and it can make you spiral because, like I said, you feel like you're so behind and you have no idea how they got there. You're like, how did they get this incredible job? How did they get this incredible opportunity? I have nowhere to start. Like, I want my life to look like that, but I have no idea where to start. And that can make you feel out of control. But what you can do to make yourself feel more in control is setting clear goals for yourself that are tangible. So you're working towards something and you have a clear idea of what you want to achieve. That way, in a couple months from now or a year from now, you can look back at your progress and be proud of that and be like, wow, I achieved a lot. I did a lot. I'm proud of myself. Instead of looking at other people and what they're doing and feeling bad about yourself, you don't have to worry about what they're doing because you know you're on track to where you want to be. And also, I'm always going to encourage that you limit your social media exposure and you're intentional with who you're following on social media, because that's what's leading a lot of us to thinking that we're lacking something or that we're so far behind because we're so fixated on what other people are doing and we're so tapped into other people's lives and what they're posting on social media. With that being said though, you can also use social media as a tool. So if there's someone that you admire online, you can look at their lives and what they're doing and pull inspiration from that instead of feeling bad. Reframe your thinking. You don't immediately have to look at what someone else has or what they're doing and think that you're doing bad or have like resentment towards them because you wish you had what they have. Take what they're doing and use it as motivation to achieve your goals. Some things that have been really helpful for me at shifting my focus away from other people and more onto like my goals, and also being a reminder that regardless if other people are doing well, so am I, is one, gratitude. I think it's a lot easier to be happy and to like your life when you're reminding yourself of all the great things in your life. The second thing that's helped me is self-affirmations and EFT tapping. So I've spoken about these two so many times, but self-affirmations are just words of encouragement to yourself. So when you see someone succeeding on social media and you feel bad about yourself, instead of saying to yourself, I am so far behind, you could say, everything's working out for me, or what's meant for me is never going to pass me. And the more that you say these things to yourself, regardless if you believe them or not, they're going to implant into your mind. And that's going to be the thought that you go to rather than I'm so far behind, my life sucks, I'm doing bad. It also just builds up confidence and reminds you who the fuck you are. Like, hell yeah, I am smart, I am funny, I am successful. And it's just a reminder to yourself every day. It's just like someone else telling you. It always feels good when someone compliments you or tells you you're doing a good job. So just telling yourself that every single day and reminding yourself you're doing a good job, like you're not behind, everything's working out for you, everything's okay, you don't have to freak out. It's going to calm you down and make you feel less like you're going to crash out. And then the third thing that's been really helpful for me is just celebrating my uniqueness. Like, there's been times where I'll look at a mutual of mine who does social media and they're killing it, but there's a voice in the back of my head that's like, you're not doing good. Like, they're doing so much better than you. You're falling behind. But what we're doing is two very different things. Like, they might be posting a lot about makeup or posting about business. And it's like, well, that's not what I do. And what I do is still really good. Like, they can succeed and so can I. And then another thing, I used to feel, I don't know if the word's insecure, but I would just get in my head thinking like I'm on the wrong path or I'm doing the wrong thing because I still live in my hometown and I'm not living in LA or I'm not living in New York. And I feel like a lot of content creators are pushed to go there because that's where all the opportunities are. And I felt like I was doing something wrong by not following what I'm supposed to do, but I found so much peace in what I'm doing. And I love the fact that I live in my hometown. I moved out of it for a while. I came back because I do like being here. I love being with my family and I just love what I do. I love that I am not trying to follow in the lead of other people, and there's nothing wrong. I'm not trying to be like, I'm not like other girls, but like, I don't have to do what everyone else is doing. I don't have to move to LA. I don't have to be posting fashion content or beauty content all the time to be a content creator. I love who I am and I love my life, and it doesn't have to look exactly like other people, because what they're doing is great and what I'm doing is also great. But you don't have to compare the two. It's like comparing apples to oranges. Yeah, they're both fruit, but they're very different and they're both very great. This is going to be the last question for the advice session. What is it going to be? The suspense. How to find your boundaries regardless of what people think. I'm a people pleaser AF. Same girl. Well, first off, let's define what a boundary is, because I feel like people don't always know what a boundary is. Some people think a boundary is just saying like, I don't like when you do this, so you can't do it. And if you do it, we're not friends. We're not dating. Like my ex being like, I don't want you to go out to dinner with your friends because I don't like your friends. Okay. If you don't like my friends, then like maybe go date someone else. I should have said that. I should have said that, but I didn't. I instead just didn't go out with my friends because I was like, I love you. But a boundary isn't just telling people what they can or can't do because you don't like that. A boundary is setting limits and rules in a relationship or friendship based off what you do and what you don't feel comfortable with. And you're basically showing other people, this is how I expect to be treated. So with my ex, he might have not felt comfortable with me going and hanging out with my friends because in the back of his mind, he's like, oh, she's gonna cheat on me. I wonder why he thought that. Oh, probably because he was cheating on me. But you need a reason. I didn't do anything to make you feel uncomfortable. And what I'm doing is a very normal thing. You can't just tell someone what they can or can't do. Boundaries are not meant to control people. They're meant to keep you safe and keep the relationship or the friendship safe. So a boundary might be, I don't appreciate when you speak to me that way. So until you're able to speak to me kindly and calmly, I'm going to remove myself from this conversation. It's not asking for something. It's telling someone, this is not okay for me, or this is not okay moving forward. Boundaries are so important in friendships and relationships to not only keep you safe, but to make sure the relationship and friendship is working and that you're not going to end up resenting this person because you're not telling them how you feel. Resentment often builds up when there is no communication and you're holding things in and you're afraid of telling someone how you actually feel out of fear of confrontation or that person leaving. So for example, your friend might speak to you really rudely and you never speak up and tell them that that's unacceptable. So over time, they continue to speak poorly to you, and eventually you blow up and the friendship's ruined because you didn't set that boundary. They had no idea that you felt the way that you did. They should have, because you probably shouldn't speak to your friend not nicely, but they didn't know because you didn't set that boundary, and they continue to treat you like crap because you didn't set that boundary. So in order to protect yourself and in order to protect your friendships and relationships and ensure they go smoothly and that they're healthy, is to define your boundaries and to figure out, what do you need? What makes you feel comfortable? What makes you feel respected? Or on the flip side, what has made you feel unsafe or feel uncomfortable in the past with other friends or other relationships? What types of behaviors are non-negotiable? Like, you're not dealing with that ever again. And then sometimes it doesn't even have to be about the other person and making sure that they don't mistreat you. It can just be looking after yourself. Because like I said, boundaries are to protect you. And sometimes it's protecting your energy. You don't always have to say yes to people out of fear of them not wanting to be your friend or out of fear of them thinking badly about you. If it's a Friday night and you promised yourself that you're going to stay in and recharge and just like look after yourself, and your friend asks you to hang out, you don't have to say yes. You could say no. You don't have to be afraid of that person being mad at you. One way to define your boundaries is being aware of how you feel or how other people make you feel. Like, if someone says something or does something that hurts your feelings or rubs you the wrong way, or maybe like makes you feel unsafe, that is a sign that you need to put a boundary in place. If something happens that makes you feel uncomfortable or makes you feel unsafe or upsets you, that's when you have to ask yourself, why do I feel this way? Is a line being crossed? Am I being disrespected? Would I be okay if this thing were to occur again? It's important to keep note of how you feel and how other people make you feel. So moving forward, when that occurs again, you can speak up and say, hey, I'm not okay with this. This cannot keep happening. And also, it's important that when you do express a boundary, when you tell someone that they've crossed a line or that you're not okay with something, that you don't feel guilty or apologize for feeling the way that you do. I know this person said that they're a people pleaser, and that is something that people pleasers do a lot. They feel bad for putting their foot down and telling someone, you can't treat me this way. I'm not okay with that. Because a lot of the time, people get upset when you set a boundary. They get mad at you for setting a boundary. They think that you're being overdramatic or that you're being too emotional. You're being unreasonable. You're being difficult. But when people invalidate how you feel and they try to make you feel crazy or out of line for setting a boundary, it's important that you trust yourself. You know how you feel. You know exactly how it felt when they disrespected you, when they did that thing. You know that it hurt. They don't get to tell you that it didn't hurt or that it shouldn't have made you upset or it shouldn't have made you mad. You know how you felt. You do not need to allow disrespect to make them feel more comfortable. Yes, when you set a boundary, they can decide to leave you and not be your friend or not date you, but you also have that choice too. You have the choice to leave. You don't need to put up with someone else's behavior just because you want a friend or you want a relationship. People who love you and care for you and actually respect you are not going to take advantage of you. They're not going to allow you to feel bad. When they find out that their actions have hurt you, they're going to try to work with you on that. They're going to change their behavior if necessary. They're not going to call you crazy or over emotional or over dramatic for saying, hey, this thing bothered me. This thing isn't okay with me. People who get upset with you having boundaries are the same people who took advantage of the fact that you didn't have any. The reason that they're upset that you're setting a boundary is because they were benefiting off of you not having any. They were benefiting off of walking all over you and doing whatever they wanted. So if someone tries to make you feel bad for expressing that something makes you uncomfortable or something has hurt you, ask yourself, why are they okay with me feeling this way? And from one people pleaser to another, I just want to remind you that it is okay for people to be upset with you. You don't need their approval. If you're always going into a conversation with someone upset and then leaving worried about how they're upset, that's a problem. It's great that you want to please other people and make them happy and validate their feelings and be a good friend. But at some point, you have to look at yourself and be like, am I disrespecting myself by allowing this person to cross another boundary? You need to start looking after yourself and thinking about your feelings, bestie. But that is going to wrap up today's advice session. I hope that you liked it. I hope that it was helpful. I hope that I answered your questions to the best of my ability. You might be listening and be like, bitch, that's not what I was looking for. Sorry, I tried. But that is the advice session. I hope you liked it. If you did and you're watching on YouTube, make sure to like it. Make sure to subscribe. If you're listening on Spotify, Apple, make sure to follow. Make sure to share it. Comment on Spotify and let me know what you thought. If you're not already, follow me on my social media. I have Instagram, I have TikTok, I have YouTube. They're in the show notes. If you want to come hang out, if you want to see more of me, because I imagine that one day a week is just not enough for some of you. I'm sure some of you would like more of me, and I'm telling you, there's a lot more of me on the internet. Okay, that's everything for today's episode. I love you, and I will talk to you next Monday. Love you.